each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Welcome, everyone. Father Tom Coyce here.
And that crowd's getting bigger and bigger, isn't it?
It is. We're going to have to build a bigger boat, right, or a bigger studio.
Wow.
That's it.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
It's waiting for the shark now.
All right.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Okay, Nick is having too much fun there, right, at the board. We're going to have to see. God bless you for tuning in. This is Father Tom Coyce with Tony here. Winds of change. Time for some brain wrinkling.
Class is in session.
Class is in session. Tony, you may wish to offer our warning right at the beginning, warning people to...
Warning. I can do it better than the robot does, but if you're out there, pull over to the side. No heavy machinery. No,
that's right.
Danger, Will Robinson.
No heavy
Danger,
machinery.
Go, Will Robinson. Danger.
There it is.
if you think
you may be thinking overly too hard, sometimes you need to just stop what you're doing and pull to the side.
Right, because if you get one kernel of an amazing thought from a marvelous radio show such as this is, it's worth it.
It is.
It's
worth the time.
So much of what we have to deal with is boring.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it.
And I think we have to do the after warning too, the one when the show goes off and you're thinking about this all day,
which
I have been doing now for the past few Wednesdays.
Right. Be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful.
It could happen almost any time during the day after the show. So,
you know, speaking of the little robot who says the warning, that little clip is from the old Lost in Space. Do you know there's a new Lost in Space now?
Yeah.
Nick knows
heard
that.
The stories.
And I had to watch the first episode.
Was it good?
It was.
Okay.
I have to say, it was intriguing. And a robot comes and he says, warning, Will Robinson.
Well, at least they kept that. Usually when they remake something, it changes something.
Yeah, but I won't give away the whole plot.
Okay,
it's good old science fiction.
Try.
You got to like science fiction. Come on. What can you not like about science fiction in its way? So anyways, if you remember, sports fans, last week I tried to unpack an issue revolving around our attempt to evangelize. I was trying to explain some blind spots. I had to re-listen to the. I wish I should listen to my podcasts more often.
If you had that kind of time, but
yeah. And by the way, too, my friends, if you want to get a podcast, I'm going to start, and I've done it a couple of weeks now. Those who have my Flock notes, those who get my Flock notes will. We'll get an email after the show. I'm going to try to do it on Fridays. And on the Friday after the Wednesday, I'll send out an email to those who are on my Flock notes. Flock notes, for those who may not know, it's kind of like an email blast kind of thing for church groups.
Or warning, but not actually a warning, just attention.
Attention. It's not a bad warning. It's a good warning. And so if you'd like to get an email of a podcast, please send me just a little message to unlikeothernations@gmail.com. That's the three words together, unlikeothernations, no spaces, at gmail.com. And I'll glad you put you on the list. And I think everybody should listen to themselves every now and then, because it's really humiliating. It's or humbling, I guess you could say. And I'm gonna start with this because it was so noticeable from my part. I know, and you listeners probably are gonna say, "Duh," or you know, that's the most obvious thing. I noticed how tentative I often am when I'm talking.
Ah.
Tony, do you want to say duh?
Duh. Duh.
Or something like that. I notice how I try so carefully to formulate sentences because I know I'm talking about difficult things. And here, I'm just going to defend my tentativeness.
Mm.
Because what I tend to do is try to talk about some difficult, controversial issues that can and might be offensive to some people. And so you try to do it as careful as possible. And I could see how politicians get to be so, they could speak for 5-10 minutes without saying anything.
Exactly.
You know, that's the danger of it. So I will try to be careful. However, I also try to be clear and not too tentative. There I said it very tentatively, didn't I? It's the way it is. Anyways, but I re-listened, and there were three aspects of the issue of evangelization that we talked. And we talked a lot about last week about this insight that I see. The connection between evangelizing to get people back into church and the issue of being clear and good and moral theology, moral philosophy has to be a part of it. And how I find there's a kind of a kicking to the curb of moral issues because Christology comes first. And I might even say revelation has to come first. And I'm not sure I agree with either of those. Does Christology come first? Does revelation come first in the sense of before what? The before what is the moral conscience, mm-hmm. the development of the moral conscience. Oftentimes, a moral conscience can develop without a Christology. What do I mean by that is you don't know about the Blessed Trinity. You don't know that Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. You don't know that you can even not know about his death and resurrection, you know, although that's, you have to live under a rock to not know these things. But what we're often saying is that we need a personal relationship with the Lord, obviously. And I want to push everyone to have a personal relationship with the Lord. That's the first covenant that comes as we connect the many other covenants and the alliances that we have in life. But sometimes a moral insight will come before a Christological insight. Ooh, Jesus is the Savior. Okay, great. But then I'll just keep on going and believe in the right to abortion. Wait a minute, there's something wrong here at this juncture. So anyways, last week we did talk a bit about that. And then I threw out the second issue revolving around evangelization, and that is a truth is often disjointed from the authority which has been offering this truth. And I think that's a particularly challenging marriage, shall we say, discovering a truth and being willing to yoke yourself or join together with a authority that says those things. And obviously what I'm talking about is the Catholic Church. You can discover a truth that the Catholic Church has been saying for a long time think that you just discovered it for the first time and still not want to walk with the Catholic Church, which is what a lot of people, of course, struggle with. You know, I use that example of Jordan Peterson, and boy, I got a great letter here that I'm going to have to read that almost mentions the same thing that I was talking about last week. So we're going to get to that. But the third aspect of this issue of evangelization is what I want to call holy forgetfulness and unholy forgetfulness. I almost said holy remembering and unholy remembering, and those are possible ways of articulating what I'm going to try to share. But a holy remembering, a holy forgetfulness. Let's try to analyze this. There is a part that we should all strive for. What is that? We all should strive for a holy forgetfulness. What is that? Well, in one way, you could sort of say it's mercy.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
Is that what you're...
Yeah, I was thinking mercy.
Forgiveness.
Right.
It sort of comes down to forgiveness.
So when God forgives us, we have the tendency to try to learn to forgive ourselves too. Is that what you're saying?
Well, and especially I'm playing with the idea of forgetfulness, forgetting it.
Right.
Because often, of course, isn't it true that you can't forget something? You know, someone did me wrong, I'm never going to forget it. I did something bad, I'm never going to forget it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's an interplay here between holy forgetfulness and unholy forgetfulness. The holy forgetfulness is the kind that grows out of the lesson has been learned, let's move on, and let's not talk about it anymore. But the key in that little thought there is that the lesson has been learned, because many times the lesson hasn't been learned, I guess.
Yes.
You know, either we haven't learned our lesson, or the person that hurt us doesn't seem like they learned their lesson. They keep doing
the same thing over and over again.
Doing things bad to others as they did to us, or they keep doing it bad to us the same way. And I expand this idea to the church and church history, because what I've done here a number of times on Winds of Change is bring up history.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard people say they don't want to hear that.
How
Hello,
we go
everybody here.
Yeah.
Once again, it is time to take another revealing peek back into history.
What famous date shall I set it to today, Mr. Peabody?
Well, I'm not going to set the dial right now.
Right. That's what...
But I'm glad he showed up, because that's why we pay Mr. Peabody so the big bucks to be here with us.
I thought maybe he was sleeping somewhere.
Yeah. But here's my point is that I go back into history, especially the Reformation. I'm reading another new book that's blowing my mind away, or should I say wrinkling my brain. Okay, yes. There's a book.
The guy's sleeping too.
There we go. Yeah.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
I want everybody to download or find. I don't know that it's in print today, but it's a book called Characters of the Reformation by Hilaire Belloc. Characters of the Reformation by Hilaire Belloc. Though some literary Catholics will probably know who I'm speaking about, but maybe the ordinary American listener won't know. Hilaire Belloc was a good friend of both G.K. Chesterton and C.S. Lewis.
Uh-huh.
I might know from my little accent there that he's British.
That's what that was?
You thought it was Australian, didn't you?
I don't know what.
That's what. Hilaire Belloc has this book trying to explain the Reformation. He wrote it back in the early 1900s, so it's not a new book. But the fact that he wrote it, you know, before World War I even, is interesting because he's trying to, it might have been right after World War I. I can't remember. I'll have to look at the dates. But anyways, a good long while ago. And he's explaining the Reformation the way a Catholic could look at the facts. And I'm reading him and I'm thinking, wow, I never heard this stuff before, because most of the facts and most of the angles and most of the interpretations of the Protestant Reformation are from the Protestant perspective, especially growing up here in the United States. That's what we sort of receive by osmosis, even if we don't study it. So Hilaire Belloc says this is one of the most important historical topics that we should be, as modern men and women, be studying. And I've heard, this is going to sound strange, but I've heard even bishops tell some priest not to talk about the Reformation, not to talk about Protestantism. I'm thinking, ouch. And then the concept, why would a bishop say, don't bring up that? And obviously, trying to put him in the best of light, he's coming from the example of, or the side of, holy forgetfulness. He says, they're thinking, okay, don't bring up the Protestant Reformation. It's not a big wound. We don't want to go back and open other big wounds. Let's let sleeping dogs lie. Let's forget the past and work on the future. Fair enough? Fair enough.
No.
Except, warning, Will Robinson. If there were, there we go. If the lessons were learned, I could say, let's shift into holy forgetfulness phase. But over and over again, I'm seeing that the lessons haven't been learned. And in fact, the mistakes are being repeated.
Wow.
That's where.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Take a minute and absorb that.
That's the brain wrinkling. Yeah. While we let our listeners absorb that, we're going to take a little break here. So God love you for tuning into Winds of Change. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You've been listening to Listener Supported, The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation. Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. God bless you for hanging in there with us. Tony, I'm trying to explain a new concept, something that's hit me. It's hit me like a truck.
Boom, like a truck.
It's a truck, and I want to share this slap.
Okay.
Because it's helpful for us in our confused, crazy, wild church and world today. I'm mystified by a certain attitude within our church and many churches about saying don't go back to the past. Don't rehash. Mm-hmm. And there's two things that really stand out that are sort of off limits for remembering or study. That is the Protestant Reformation and the history of Islam through 1500 years.
That makes sense.
we're forbidden sort of to research the history. And I want to say that the thing that hit me by the truck is, why would people be saying don't do that?
Good question.
You know, because it seems so important. There's a holy forgetfulness. That the only way I could explain it is that there is a certain desire to teach people holy forgetfulness. But actually, is it really true to say it's holy forgetfulness if you never knew it in the first place?
Good point.
You know what I'm saying? You can't forget something you never learned.
Exactly.
And what we're to learn about some bad things about the past is somewhat dangerous, because number one, you could use it as a blunt instrument and try to insult others. Mm-hmm. Let us say any Christian friends that are of the Protestant denominations, you learn about the Protestant Reformation, you see some of the nasty side to it, then you just want to use what you learn to insult people.
Mm-hmm.
That's unholy remembering. There's unholy remembering and there's holy remembering.
Mm-hmm.
You first have to have holy remembering. When you study history, especially religious history, you got to say a prayer. You got to enter that study with a right attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can and will be used against others. It can and might be used. That's one word. What was that cop show that used to use that? Anything you say can and will
be used against you in a court of law.
That's right. Wasn't that? No. We got to get that
one. Isn't it funny how you can remember things like that?
I think you got to find that one, wherever that. I think it was in Dragnet.
It is probably Dragnet, the truth, Dragnet. The whole truth, yeah, and nothing but the truth.
Well, that's another one.
Right. You know,
there's all sorts of. Anyway, so I'm trying to give the church and those who don't want me or anybody else to talk about the Reformation and or the history of Islam, they want to put that aside. The only way I could understand what they're trying to accomplish is to introduce the idea of a holy forgetfulness. We, like in a marriage, let's compare our religious life to a marital life, you know, and certainly there's times when spouses have hurt each other, and sometimes you want to You need to forget it. Mm-hmm. That's a holy forgetfulness. Of course, in that sense, you don't have the issue of you never learned it. You obviously, right. You know it. With church history, you're going to, mm-hmm. you're going to have to study it to learn it so that you can forget it or have a holy forgetfulness. And speaking of which, when I'm bringing up the topic of the Protestant Reformation, my listeners have heard me mention about Dennis Prager, who's on the radio. As a matter of fact, I've used him as an example of somebody who's not Christian or not Catholic, even, that's helping people come back to the Catholic Church because he's such a strong moral voice.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody you admire says something that you don't agree with, you sort of feel bad yeah. about it. But I want to warn against the reaction. If someone you admire says something or does something you don't like or disagree with, you shouldn't just forget about them. You shouldn't just write them off.
And that's what people do.
You know, who do you agree with 100% of the time?
Or no one.
Who will you always see eye to eye with?
No one.
Nobody except yourself, yeah. maybe. And so you end up spending a lot of time by yourself or in the company of yourself. And it's important to be comfortable being by yourself, but that's a different story. Do you know what I'm trying to drive
at? That's a show of a divin.
Right. So, but I caught Dennis Prager. He doesn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
But I listen to him and I say, he has more Protestant Christians on his radio show than Catholic Christians, although there's a lot of Catholics that listen to Dennis Prager, the ones who are his go-to commentators are the Protestant mm-hmm. Christians. As a matter of fact, remember a few months ago, I actually brought in some clips from an interview that Dennis Prager did with Eric Metaxas, mm-hmm. Who is a strong, wonderful conservative political think tank type person. But definitely a Protestant Christian. And as he was describing the Protestant Reformation, I was jumping up and down in my seat saying,
no,
wait, you're missing a huge part of the story, you know? And some of the things you're saying, they're obviously, there's always two sides to the mm-hmm. story, right? And we accept that ideology so strongly that that itself leads to there's a sort of to the victory goes the Protestant angle side.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I caught Dennis Prager making a mistake from the Protestant side, but an accuracy from the Catholic side. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Have I made you care? This is a Catholic caller calls into Dennis Prager. And he's trying to explain to Dennis Prager and anybody else who would be listening is that Catholicism does have a papacy, and there's an ability to sort of filter through the confusion because we have a papacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, yeah, that sounds like a good Catholic calling in and trying to explain something. And Dennis Prager, by being a good practicing Jewish person, says we have something similar in Judaism because we have sort of like chief rabbis. And we listen to those chief rabbis more than we listen to your cousin Joe or whatever. or at least we should. That's the kind of the training. And he says it's something like the papacy, but it's not. And in that sense, he's right. The fact that there's so many of them. There's not just one. If the Jewish people did recognize one chief rabbi who had the gift of discerning the truth or proclaiming a truth in times of confusion or controversy, that would be more like the papacy. is what we had. So, but the reason I want to share this little clip is because he makes the Freudian slip. See if you can catch it here. Let's just see if I can.
Have something not identical, but similar, which you don't have at all, obviously, in Protestantism, because the whole Lutheran Revolution or Reformation was about every individual reads the scripture and interprets it for himself.
Did you get that? Did you get that? Here, let's do it again. Then we'll go on the break, because and then we. But where is the Freudian slip?
Something not identical, but similar, which you don't have at all, obviously, in Protestantism, because the whole Lutheran Revolution or Reformation was about every individual reads the scripture and interprets it for himself.
Okay, we're going to let you sit on that for a little while, because it's very, very important, my friends. I'm Father Tom Coyes, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
All human life is precious, and all humans are created equal, but not all vitamins are created equal. One company's vitamins stand taller than the rest. At For Life Vitamins, we promote health from the womb to the tomb and support the pro-life movement. Dr. Christosik created For Life Vitamins to optimize your healthy habit of taking vitamins and protect the health of unborn children, the infirmed, and the elderly by donating 10% of sales to support Father Bush's life-changing ministry. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 888-879-1190. Dr. Christosik has helped over 13,000 patients reclaim their health with For Life's vitamins. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190. Simply change your vitamin company and save a life. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Tom Coyes here. Well, that sounds like a new sponsor we have there, the For Life vitamins. I'm going to have to check into that. Mm-hmm. God love those, anybody from that company that... That's helping us keep Winds of Change on the air. So, before the break, I said I caught Dennis Prager with a Freudian slip. It's an incredibly different way of looking at an event in world history, an event that Hilaire Belloc calls the greatest tragedy since the crucifixion of Jesus. That's a pretty major tragedy, we want to say. That it is even a tragedy is a Catholic twist to the whole event. It is tragic. But the other tragedy is that people don't see it as a tragedy. Okay, but here, let's just do it one more time. Where's the Freudian slip, my friends, when Dennis Prager...
Not identical, but similar, which you don't have at all, obviously, in Protestantism, because the whole Lutheran Revolution or Reformation was about every individual reads the scripture and interprets it for himself.
See where it's going?
Yeah.
Tony? Yeah, and I hope... because his general thinking, especially in terms of the issue that he's wrestling with, namely an authority to help us decipher the truth, spiritual, moral, religious matters. The Catholic guy calls in and says, "Hey, Dennis, remember we have a pope that helps us," and sometimes Dennis Prager is a little bit critical of Pope Francis, and some of the things he's pointing out, I sometimes agree with in the terms of he does seem to have Pope Francis, that is, does seem to have a kind of anything from America can't be good attitude in some sense, you know, like it says in the Bible when they were trying to find Jesus, Jesus, where'd he come from? Well, Nazareth. And I think it was the Apostle Philip says, what good could come from Nazareth? My gosh. There are many in the world that have an attitude of America. What good can come from America, you know? And unfortunately, I sometimes sense that in Pope Francis. And another thing, though, that I want to connect the idea of a clear understanding of the Protestant Reformation is needed to understand the proper interpretation or the issues, the controversy, the confusion that floats around Amoris Laetitia and the possible change in sacramental practice if the more quote-unquote liberal interpretation is codified, and that's what seems to be on the move. So going back to the Protestant Reformation is essential. And here again, I'm back to, wait a minute, do we just forget about it? Should we employ holy forgetfulness? Because there is a holy forgetfulness. If you learn it and you put it aside and don't use it as a sword, but learn the lessons well. Because there's an unholy forgetfulness. An unholy forgetfulness is more like every teenager who forgets what their parents told them, you know, or every teacher who's trying to teach their kids, their students. All right, I'm going to go over it one more time. 12 times 12 is not 122.
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Exactly. So that's unholy forgetfulness, you know, and that's what most of us deal with. Mm-hmm. Most of my forgetfulness
is unholy
forgetfulness. It's not given to me by the grace of God.
Right.
I think of this. Well, I forget people's names. Mm-hmm. There's another big one, right? Hi.
How you doing?
How you doing? Good to see you there. Please, Lord, help me remember their name. I completely forget your name. That's unholy forgetfulness, okay? Right. We all can work on remembering. We can remember our lessons. Or if you're hard at work, and your boss said, "Don't forget to." Okay, give me a quick example, Tony. You're in the workaday world more.
Don't forget to save that work that you've done, and you forget.
There you go. Don't forget
you delete
to
it.
Save your work, and of course you don't. And
well, give me a count of whatever you're doing. Oh, I forgot.
That report was due today. I didn't know that. Oh my gosh. I don't even want to think of reports. The diocese has too many of those things for us, too. But anyways, I think we all know and we all have this sense of, forgetfulness is not a grace from God. It can be an unholy forgetfulness. Not that you have to go to confession.
No.
I've never gone to confession. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I was standing out in the back of church last Sunday, and I forgot 7 parishioners' names. You know.
Do you know him now? Still don't know.
I'm sorry. You know, it's not a sin. It's not a sin, but it's not a grace from God to be forgetful. And so there is a way you can wipe away your memory of a bad thing, and that's holy forgetfulness. And to some extent, the Protestant Reformation can fit that. We do want to forget about it, but if we've understood, and this is where I'm afraid we haven't. And that's why I think returning and trying to study the history a bit better is all the more important. So that being said, I gotta read. Remember last week I was telling you about the moral issues that are connected to political issues, and mm-hmm. since we are told to keep politics completely separated from religion, then we keep morality completely separated from religion, and therefore we tend to then pitch or sell some kind of religion, but it's not connected to the real life. Or it's a fuzzy kind of religion. It's a club. Cardinal George used to often use the phrase club. We don't want to let our parishes or our church turn into some kind of club, which it can be, which is the natural kind of association of people. But being a Catholic, being a part of the church, is different. I could relate it to the Civil War, because the idea of a club was used to defend the Confederates' desire to leave the Union. If you join a club, you join a club freely. Anything you join freely, you should be able to leave freely. So that was a basic defense of why the Southern Confederacy thought that they were in their perfect rights to, they didn't want to belong to the Union anymore, so they have a right to secede. And to be perfectly honest, the Catholic Church, especially by the voices of the popes and many, many of the Catholics in Europe, said, well, yeah, of course you do. And of course, in a sense, well, yes, you have a right to secede, you have a right to leave, but that doesn't deny the right for the North to try to stop you from leaving. You can relate that also to marriage. Every spouse has a right to walk away, but that doesn't deny the right for the other spouse to try to prevent him from walking away. Now, of course, preventing someone from walking away is a little different than waging a civil war. It might mean taking your spouse on a long vacation that you haven't had in a while. That's maybe one, you know, that might sound kind of strange, but I'll let a little secret in. And sometimes in confession, I give some little advice. Mm-hmm. I try.
It's a good advice.
And sometimes I tell couples that are going through a difficult time, you got to take your wife to Wisconsin Dells, or you got to get away together, you know, do something. Anyways, that could be a form of trying to prevent them from walking away. Obviously, you're fighting for the marriage. In other mm-hmm. words, you do something to fight for the marriage. So, here's a letter that a bishop received. It's written by a young dad, and it's just exactly what I was trying to share last week. See if you agree or so. Okay, then I'll tell you which bishop shared this. He says, "I am a 26-year-old dad of 3 children. I wish to offer my perspective, shared by many of my peers, on Rome's upcoming Synod on the Youth and Faith and Vocational Discernment." Maybe you know or maybe you don't know, but Pope Francis wants to have another synod. God love him for trying to get people together to discuss significant matters, and certainly the young and vocations is a significant matter. However, here's the however. Though the church is growing focus on evangelization of the nuns, like people that don't have a religion, is encouraging, there have been recent discussions emanating from several prominent figures in Rome and throughout church leadership regarding the so-called paradigm shift relative to doctrine, the supremacy of individual conscience and pastoral accommodations. you get the drift of where he's coming from? He's a young man, just setting the stage, as it were. And he says, my wife and I find these developments disturbing and potentially disastrous for the evangelization of the young and the fallen away. We young people crave the truth and clarity of good teaching. On a secular level, this is evidenced by the rise in popularity of Jordan Peterson. same thing I brought up last week. We crave the truth, no matter how blunt or difficult it is for us to swallow or for the shepherds of our flock to teach. Our culture is roiled in confusion concerning the basic tenets of human nature. From a very young age, we're deluged with propaganda that distorts basic scientific truths about gender, paints virtue and chivalry as toxic masculinity, chivalry as toxic masculinity.
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Well, there's more brain wrinkling.
Oh, there's more coming.
There's more coming. You know, Nick wants us to take a quick break here. Okay, we'll stop it right here. But this is a great recap of last week's show, if you right. missed it, actually. I'm Father Tom Coy, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Tony, I'm sharing this letter that I found that I think he listened to my show last week.
He had to have.
I'm sure he must be a Winds of Change listener because he's writing exactly what I was pointing at. So I'll continue here a little bit. You know, he's saying, we urgently need the church's clarity and authoritative guidance on issues like abortion, homosexuality, gender dysphoria, the indissolubility of matrimony, the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Those are classic four last things. And then he nails the hidden elephant in the room and the consequences of artificial contraception, the moral, anthropological, and abortifacient issues associated with this. My generation has never or rarely heard these truths winsomely taught in the parishes. Instead, we hear most forcefully and frequently from our bishops' conferences and our dioceses regarding the federal budget, border policy, net neutrality, gun control, and the environment. Increasingly, we have noticed an appeasement of modern culture under the broad cloak of pastoral sensitivity, including cases of some high-profile clergy who deliberately blur the church's teaching regarding homosexuality and transgenderism in the name of building bridges. The dubia remain unanswered, the dubia being a letter sent to Rome from a number of cardinals asking for clarification on points of Amoris Laetitia. These discussions of beauty in the liturgy and reverent reception of the Eucharist are mocked. Heads are scratched at decreasing mass attendance. Yet young people who look to tradition to recover our bearings are chided as rigid. This shift away from clarity is demoralizing for young faithful Catholics, particularly those with a heart for the new evangelization. And my friends raising children against an ever stronger cultural tide. Peers of mine who are converts or reverts have specially cited teachings like Humanae Vitae or Familias Consortio or Veritatis Splendor as beacons of light that set the church and her wisdom apart from the world and other faiths. Now they're hearing from some in the highest levels of the church that these liberating teachings are unrealistic ideals and that conscience should be the final arbiter of truth. Young Catholics crave the beauty that guided and inspired previous generations for nearly two millennia. Many of my generation received their upbringing surrounded by bland, ugly, and often downright counter-mystical modern church architecture, hidden tabernacles, and banal modern liturgical music more suitable to failed off-Broadway theater. The disastrous effect that beige Catholicism, as Bishop Robert Barron aptly describes it, has had on my generation can't be overstated. In a world of soulless modern vulgarity, we're frustrated by the iconoclasm of the past 60 years. In sum, many of us feel that we're the rightful heirs of thousands of years of rich teaching, tradition, art, architecture, and music. We young Catholics increasingly recognize that these riches will be crucial for evangelizing our peers and passing on a thriving church to our children. If the church abandons her traditions of beauty and truth, she abandons us. I offer these observations without bitterness or insult, but with love for my brothers and sisters who have not received the blessing, the love, the formation God mysteriously granted to me and my friends. I am not alone. Though deeply troubled by the current state of affairs, we remain hopeful and rooted in that confidence. We're raising large families who will inherit the future of the church. I sincerely hope this can be conveyed emphatically at the upcoming synod. And I thank every pastor and bishop who stands as a role model for evangelizing, preaching the truth, and promoting the beauty and richness our faith has to offer. Signed, a young dad.
Wow, that was beautiful.
That's, I mean, he sort of puts it together.
I can't believe that's a 26-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, he's tuned into something.
Yeah.
I'll just say what the bishop wrote in after he shared it. He says, I can add little to that kind of witness. I'll merely suggest the obvious. The future of the Catholic faith belongs to those who create it with their fidelity, their self-sacrifice, their commitment to bringing new life into the world and raising their children in truth, and their determination to walk Christ's narrow way with joy. May God grant the 2018 Synod fathers the grace and the courage to lead young people on that path. And that would be Bishop Chaput, Archbishop of Philadelphia.
Wow.
An interesting sharing, to say the least. How should we wrap this brain-wrinkling hour up? Let me try to say this holy forgetfulness. We can and we should not remember. We can and we could put things to the back of our memory for the sake of charity. Mm-hmm. Especially when the other person was not involved in the past crime. And that's, of course, what all Protestants of today, you can hardly say any of the Protestants of today are in any way, shape, or form guilty for the sins of the Reformation, so, of the like of King Henry VIII or Zwingli or Calvin or those people. So we readily forget them. And it's good that we forget them if we learned a lesson, if we learned it well. And if we see people going into the same direction or not, it's a case of sort of having abandoned the truth and not having recovered it. And if the study of history helps us recover it, then we need to unveil our memory, remember it, or study it so that we can know it. But again, warning, don't study it to be insulting. study it to be enlightening. That's, I think that's just a key difference. That holy forgetfulness, ultimately, the reason I had that phrase in my mind is because remember I was talking about Peter Kreft's vision of heaven and the idea of God's forgetfulness. When God forgets, that which is forgotten disappears out of existence. That's how we can say in heaven there is only good. And it's a beautifully logical conclusion if you accept the fact that God is eternal and that going to heaven is going to God. Life in heaven, we participate in God's life. Therefore, we're participating in some kind of eternal life. Therefore, we don't have a yesterday, today, and a tomorrow. For us, when we forget something, we forget what happened yesterday or 10 years ago or 50 years ago or 150 years ago. That's, you can't say the same for God. And that's why the doctrine of purgatory makes such beautiful sense. It's a kind of a burning away. When God forgives, he doesn't remember it. When God doesn't remember it, it doesn't exist. Because only goodness and the now exists in God. To me, that's just life-changing wisdom.
Wow.
And it gives sense to the whole doctrine of the whole practice of a...
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
It gives meaning to what the annulment process is for, because annulment process sort of asks you to remember so that you could learn, so you can put behind you. And whether or not we completely forget or not, it's annulled in God's mind. It's annihilated in God's mind. And that's why a wrong interpretation of Amoris Laetitia is so dangerous. We gotta get it right. Does that make any sense?
It does.
I hear some music. It's time to go. God love you for tuning in. I'm Father Tom Coys. You've been listening to Listener Supported, The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. The world makes no sense. Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time is now.